Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text is the gospel reading from the Sermon on the Mount, which includes these words of Jesus: "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." We Lutherans tend to be more than a bit uncomfortable with a few continuous weeks of gospel readings from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, especially in Epiphany season, maybe during Lent, but not Epiphany. Turning the other cheek to insult and injury, giving not only the shirt off your back, but your overcoat as well, carrying burdens double the distance, boy, it seems like a lot, and it goes on. Loving enemies, giving to beggars and borrowers, loving enemies and praying for persecutors, this seems like a life that's impossible to live. We may especially be nervous with the conclusion of this text: "You therefore must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." You heard something like this on Monday from the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 6: "Be merciful even as your Father in heaven is merciful." The short Lutheran sermon from this teaching can be summed up in one quick sentence: you can't even begin to be perfect. Christ is perfect for you and forgives all your imperfections. Amen. But that's not my sermon. There is biblical truth to this summary, but is that the point of Jesus' teaching here? Then why did he teach in the same context? "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Or why in the same context does he teach, "Whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does them and teaches them will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven"? There are two simple points I will express. First, the sanctified life that Jesus is describing here is the life Jesus lived for you. He did not demand an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth from us, but he showed grace upon grace to us in suffering retribution, the retribution our sins deserve. He turned not only the other cheek, but also his back, his hands, and his feet to the blows of his enemies. He gave up all of his clothing, becoming naked on the cross in your place for your sins. And when the thief begged for mercy, he gave him paradise. And when his enemies called for his crucifixion, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was perfect, righteous, and holy, even as the Heavenly Father is perfect, righteous, and holy. And the second point is this: the sanctified life that Jesus is describing here, that is his life, is the life that he calls you to live in him. Unlike other Jewish rabbis and some modern Christian pastors, Jesus did not teach that such sanctified living has a soteriological function, namely, that it is an aspect of our righteousness before God. No, Jesus stated in his own baptism that he was fulfilling all righteousness in himself. And he is the one who taught, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of the heavens." And that's why he also taught, in this same context, "Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Yes, sanctification is not the basis for our righteous status before God. Trusting in Christ's righteousness, especially revealed in his own atoning death for the sins of the world, is the sole basis for our entering and living in the kingdom of the heavens. Nevertheless, the Sermon on the Mount makes clear that Jesus is no antinomian. He calls those who have been baptized into him, and this means you, to live the sanctified life that he lived, loving not only neighbors, but also enemies. Our dark world needs more than radical Islamic videos that want not a tooth, not an eye, but a head. It needs more than "he's not my president" marches or even presidential tweets that tweak the enemies. It needs the light of Christ shown in the love that's delivered with lips and with hands. I'm especially intrigued by what Jesus says at the end of our text. The ESV reads, and I've read it several times, "You must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." In light of Leviticus 19 that was just read, I'm expecting, all of us are expecting Jesus to say, "You must be holy, even as my heavenly Father is holy." But that's not what Matthew records Jesus having taught. Matthew reflects Jesus' teaching by using the word teleioi, which may be better translated "complete ones" rather than "be perfect ones." But why not holy ones? Why be complete ones, even as your heavenly Father is complete, finished? It may just be that Jesus knows that we are already holy and righteous through him. And now he is calling us to show forth that holiness and righteousness that we have in him by being complete or finished ones. Jesus is calling us to show forth who we already are because we have been baptized into Christ. The life he lived in flesh now continues to live and show forth in the life of his church, in your lives, of not loving only your neighbors, but even your enemies as well. And most of us have watched the Tom Cruise movie, Jerry Maguire. So most of us know that key pivotal plot moment where Jerry Maguire delivers that line that has been repeated by so many men and women as they've dated or on their wedding anniversaries: "You complete me." How can sinners like us ever be the complete ones Jesus is speaking of here? By being joined to Christ, we don't need to seek intimacy with Christ, as you were told from the pulpit a few weeks ago during the symposia. Why? Because you already have it. Yes, Jesus became our groom at our baptism, when our lives became one with his. We already have it right now, right here at this table. Today, our misdirected and messed up lives are made complete by his holy flesh and blood, given into you in this marriage feast. The complete life of Jesus, a holy life that loves even enemies, is now in you and shows forth its light from you. In the name of Jesus, amen.